Hey, it's C. Sparky, 5 for 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout here on a football Thursday as we get ready for Green Bay and Tennessee tonight. Got to do a little Badger talk. Anytime we talk Wisconsin, it's brought to you by Creative Construction of Wisconsin. Six generations specializing in plaster, stucco, tuck pointing, and historical restoration. Call them today at Creative Construction of Wisconsin. And joining us now is a longtime friend of WSSP. He is Greg Smith from Rivals, covers Nebraska recruiting and the Cornhuskers program. Follow him at Greg Smith Rivals as we broadcast live from the Wendy's studios. Don't forget, go get that peppermint frosty today. It's here for a limited time only, kind of like Scott Frost was only in Nebraska for a limited time, Greg Smith. Kind of like a strawberry frosty or a peppermint frosty. The taste was so good in the beginning, but unlike frosties at Wendy's, that one kind of soured over time and you had to move on. How has life been in Nebraska since Scott Frost has left?
Oh, man, well played. It's funny. It started off bad because Oklahoma was that first game immediately after, but then it picked up, right? Nebraska won a couple of games under Mickey Joseph. And you're like, okay, is Mickey's candidacy really viable here? Are things about to at least get, you know, a little bit better here where he's going to have them competitive this year? And then they kind of hit a brutal stretch that they're going to kind of cap off this weekend of like 1,000-yard rushers, right? There's 4 1,000-yard rushers already in the Big Ten, and Nebraska has played all of them consecutive weeks, and things have gone a little downhill since then.
A little downhill. You got beat 34-3 to Michigan. I'd say you're beyond a little downhill at this point. That's all right, though, because Wisconsin has stunk, obviously, as well, and our coach also is out in Paul Chryst. But having said all of that, I mean, for Wisconsin, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I believe Paul Chryst got fired because Graham Mertz never developed and never turned into, you know, the highly most decorated recruited quarterback by Wisconsin that they've ever seen. He never panned out and essentially cost Paul Chryst his job. For Nebraska, the quarterback situation, now that Martinez left and is doing fairly well, I would say, looking at that quarterback situation now, I feel like they're kind of in the same boat here, kind of looking for that next quarterback.
Yeah, well, the quarterback situation, if your quarterback situation in Wisconsin is bad, get ready for this. So Casey Thompson, who transferred from Texas,
right,
was a starter and was playing pretty well, like had some really nice games early in the season, even though in losses. He has been out for the last 2 weeks with kind of like it's some sort of nerve damage to his right hand, which is his throwing hand, which does not sound good.
No.
Though there is increased optimism that he's going to try and give it a go this week against Wisconsin. Mark Whipple talked today, actually, about him practicing this week, so we'll see. But while he's been out, Chuba Purdy has been the backup and has played, and Nebraska has only scored one touchdown since Casey Thompson went out. Okay. Then Chuba Purdy got hurt, and he's going to be out for the rest of the season because he's got a high ankle sprain and is having surgery this week. The third string quarterback came in, Logan Smothers, and he was ineffective and has also been banged up. And right now, the next man up, if either of those guys can't go, is a walk-on from a small town in Nebraska named Jared Sinek. So the quarterback situation is just a mess here at Nebraska in general this year, but it has also been bad overall during the Scott Frost tenure, which is, again, part of why he's gone, and much in the same way as Paul Chryst. The quarterback development just wasn't there.
What about the ground game? Because that's something Nebraska's always done well, is run good on the ground. And Grant had a good game against Minnesota, but not against Michigan, right, not against Illinois.
Yeah, he's been up and down. Like, and part of the thing, and this has been a huge talking point here, is that the offensive coordinator, Mark Whipple, we're basically at the point of just openly saying that he's very stubborn and really just wants to pass the football, which sounds like a horrible recipe in the Big Ten, right? And it's just not something that the successful teams in this league really do, save for the guys in Columbus, because they can, right? And so it's just different. And so that's been the thing. He's not gotten a lot of carries or consistent carries, and Nebraska has run into better rush defenses as they've gone along here too. Anthony Grant's pretty good. He just doesn't have a lot of opportunities in the offensive line is the weak point of the offense as well.
What about this Nebraska defense at this point? They've always been a team that's had good defense back in the day when Nebraska was really good. How are they this year?
Yeah, so they've actually been better than what the results have been. And we talked about this last year, right, where the defense was kind of hanging, keeping them in game. And then they would eventually wilt because the offense would falter. It has been the exact same thing this year with less star power on the defense. The defense is not as good as it was last year because they had some like a couple of like borderline NFL guys on the defense last year, like JoJo Doman and Ben Stilley, those guys, Cam Taylor-Britt as well. They don't have that this year, but they've been good enough. Like, but you can only be, you know, hold up for so long when, you know, you go through a game, I think it was the Minnesota game where they had seven straight three and outs on the other side. Eventually you're going to wear down no matter how good the defense is, but it's been fine this year.
What's this fan base like? Where are the Badgers rolling into? Is this still going to be a raucous crowd in Lincoln, or is this fan base checked out on them?
No, normally the thing we can always say is you can count on the fans to be, you know, there loud and proud. I am really curious on how that goes for an 11 a.m. kickoff in which, you know, you're basically, 11 days from the end of the season. Yeah. And that's when you expect, then one more day after that is when we expect Trev Alberts to name a new head coach. I think it's going to be tough to see like a raucous crowd out there. It's probably going to be a late arriving crowd. It's going to be tough, man. That one's going to be hard. It'll be different than most atmospheres that you're used to seeing in Lincoln, I think.
So your last game is Thanksgiving weekend, obviously, on a Friday of all things at 3 in the afternoon Central Time at Iowa. That'll be fun. So you're saying you think Trev Alberts, the athletic director, their former great player for Nebraska, is going to make his head coaching decision that quick after the season?
I mean, the head coaching search has been going on for 60 days. Like, it's been like September 11th is when they fired Scott Frost. If it's going too much past that game, like, what are we doing? Like, what has Trev been doing during that time? No, I think that it's going to be announced that weekend. There has been a lot of buzz that it was going to be announced this past Monday. That did not happen, obviously, but I do think that you're going to get an announcement pretty quickly after that Black Friday game against Iowa.
Who is it?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Right now, if you ask most people, a lot of people think it's going to be Matt Rhule. We'll see if they can go ahead and close that deal. But that does seem to be kind of the consensus leading candidate. But Trev has done a pretty good job of keeping things locked up. But that's what it feels like at the moment.
That's the home run hire, I guess, at this point, right? A guy that's been proven in college football, got a little NFL experience, kind of got screwed over by the quarterback position in Carolina to a certain degree by what he was given to work with. Now the question becomes, can he recruit, you know, that area and that part of the country? And will those high school coaches buy into him, and can he win them over? I think that's always a key anytime you bring in a head coach from outside the family, quote unquote.
It's so funny you say that, because one of the things, and kind of, you know, some research on Rhule, you know, just in case, of course, one of the things that he did immediately when he got to Baylor was kind of get in with the Texas high school football coaches, right? Like, you do need that buy-in from your state's high school coaches, even if in this case, you're only going to get so many players from Nebraska. You're going to have to recruit nationally, because that's what the program does, because you have to because of the population base. But you do, that's also a challenge. He's never had to do that where he's had to recruit nationally either, so that would be a different challenge as well. But he is kind of he's an old school kind of meat and potatoes, but believes in building, but from the offensive and the defensive lines kind of coach. And that's exactly what Nebraska needs.
So, I mean, you've been covering them for a long time. How has their recruiting changed over the course of time? Were they heavier in different states earlier on, and now it's kind of shifted to other states? Like, back when the Badgers were with Barry, man, they recruited New Jersey and that area really, really well, because they had a coach that was really connected in there, and that's where they got the great wide receivers and Ron Dayne and those guys. And then over the course of time, it kind of dwindled off as far as their ties there. Now they're trying to get back there. For Nebraska, how has it changed over the years?
Yeah, it has definitely changed in the time I've been doing it. So, like, Mike Riley really liked the West Coast, and he liked to go out there to California and Arizona and stuff, Vegas even, and try to get players. Scott Frost came in and basically abandoned that and really liked Florida, Georgia, Alabama. They've recruited those states really hard. They've continued that in this short time under Mickey Joseph, but kind of added in Louisiana because of his ties down there. I think that there's an appetite for Nebraska to continue recruiting those southeastern states, but also mix in more Texas and do more Midwestern recruiting. Nebraska, like, surprisingly, like, it is very far and few between where I talk to people or kids from Wisconsin, and they they say, hey, I'm being recruited by Nebraska, or even kids from Illinois, like kids in the Big Ten footprint, I think Nebraska needs to do a better job of trying to recruit there. Like, I understand why you want to get the kids from the South, but you also need to get some of these big boys that the other schools are recruiting.
Are you banging your head against the wall because you're not that Nebraska by going down there and competing against the Alabamas of the world?
It is frustrating in a lot of ways because I see it as a path of more resistance doing it that way. Like, even if, and I know Nebraska's not, they're not necessarily going head-to-head with Alabama, but the problem is that you may be going up against Auburn, and it's still more difficult to get a kid that's, say, a mid-range four-star or a high three-star kid to leave down south if they've got an Auburn offer to come all the way to Nebraska, or even like a Tennessee. Like, Tennessee has definitely become a problem in that as they've risen up as well, right? Like, it's just difficult. Like, there's good programs that are closer to home and with warmer weather that they're going to want to stay and play there. And you have to explain to them, like, why Nebraska is a big thing and why you'd want to come play in the Big Ten and all of that. Like, I do think it's more of a resistance pass to do it that way than to just kind of rein it in, do spot recruiting down there and get more into, you know, your Iowas, your Illinois, Ohio, even Wisconsin, like Minnesota, all of those states where you're going to play as well.
You know, that's the one thing about Rule, if that's the way they decide to go. He's got Texas, obviously, being at Baylor, and then he's got the East Coast as well prior to coming to Baylor. And those are two areas it doesn't sound like you guys were really all that ready to hot and trot and bother with. That would be interesting to see how well he can recruit Texas, considering Sarkisian is trying to get Texas up and going at this point. Texas Tech, you know, I don't think there's anything to worry about there necessarily. A&M, Jimbo Fisher might be out of a job here at some point if he doesn't get that figured out. I mean, there might be an opportunity for Nebraska to sneak some kids out of Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a running back coach on staff right now that we don't know if he'd be retained, but he's very good down in Texas, Brian Applewhite. And so he's tried to get them in there a little bit this past year, but it's only been, you know, a handful of months. So that's been difficult. And you remember when Nebraska, under your favorite coach, Bo Pelini, that is where they went a lot. They did recruit Texas quite a bit to get guys from down there to come to Texas. And so they're familiar, the coaches are down there. It's just been a while.
All right, so what's your pick, Wisconsin or Nebraska, the battle of the two not-so-good teams?
Oh, I got to go with Wisconsin, not because they're, like, so great this year, but more so that I just think over the course of that game, Braylon Allen is going to wear them down. I do think that Wisconsin's defense will be able to get a couple turnovers off of Nebraska as well, regardless if Casey Thompson plays or not. The offense, I think, has just been too shaky. I think the Badgers win it probably by 10 in this game.
It's a beautiful thing. There he is, our guy. I love talking to him. I love tweeting at him, too, throughout, giving him some crap. Greg Smith, at Greg Smith Rivals, for all of your Nebraska info or trash talking, whatever the case may be. He's always there for you each and every time, and he'll respond. Greg, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, have a good one, man. Enjoy the game.
Make sure to tell your friends, your family members, each and every Pick and Save Football Friday or Pick and Save Football Thursday. Always do some Packer talk, some Badger talk, and usually some fantasy football talk. Not being able to do it this week, couldn't get schedules lined up, but we'll be back with Ian Harditz next week for sure. So again, make sure to tell everybody on those Pick and Save Football Fridays, in this case a Pick and Save Football Thursday because of the Packers and Titans game. Always got Packers of some sort, always got Badgers of some sort, and normally fantasy football at 1250 AM, thefan.com, or on your Odyssey app. You can listen and download for free.